Colossians chapter 1 in your Bibles, if you turn there with me. We've been looking at the book of Colossians. We looked at Christ as the Creator in verse 15, 16. If you missed that message, you can look it up on the website, and it's still there. And we believe in the book of Genesis and biblical creation, and we believe what the Bible says. Today we look at the reconciling work of Christ. Man is reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ alone. There is no other method of reconciliation to God except through Christ. It is not God that is reconciled. God is unchanged. God is absolutely holy. God is absolutely righteous. Man sinned and was cast out of the garden and went away from God and hid himself because of his sin. But Christ makes reconciliation so man can be reconciled to God, because Christ appeases God's wrath through the propitiatory work he made on Calvary's cross. His death, his shed blood, his resurrection from the dead, the power of Christ makes the point of mercy between God and man, that Christ reconciles man to God. And we'll look at that today in verse 19. Colossians chapter 1, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you," get this now, this is me and you, "present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask you to bless the message today as we look into these verses. I pray for you to enlighten us through the Scripture. Help me to feed your people through the Word today. And Lord, deal with our hearts by your Spirit. Draw us close to you, Father, that we'll know your presence. We invite you into our midst. Help us, guide us, direct us, Father, by your Spirit as we look into your Word, and bless your people, we pray. And then, Father, if there's someone still lost, help them to understand they can be reconciled today in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 19, the fullness of God. The fullness of God is in Christ. So the authority and the ability and the desire for man to be reconciled is in Jesus Christ. He made the payment that is acceptable to God for our sins, proven by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1, verse number 4, he's declared to be the Son of God in power by the resurrection from the dead. In Romans 3, it says that the resurrection was for our justification. And so Christ has paid the price. He has chosen us. He substituted himself for us. He paid the price for our sin. Sinful man is not seeking God. The unsaved don't seek God. Unsaved man, like Adam, who went out of the garden and hid himself and sewed fig leaves together to try to cover his nakedness. Sinful man hides from God and is away from God. Isaiah said, "All we like sheep have gone astray. But God has sought us. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." God loves us, and he's given Christ to die in our place that we might be reconciled to God. Now this verse says in verse 19, "It pleased the Father, in him should all fullness dwell." This word fullness in the Greek language is a word that the false teachers of that day used quite often. It is the word pleroma, and it means fullness. And they believed, the Gnostic teachers believed, that the divine powers and attributes were in this word. And the problem, that's good, they believe this is the divine powers and attributes. The bad thing is, they believe those were distributed among numerous emanations from God. Like an angel was as much God as Jesus was God. They taught that to the people. They were false teachers in that day. But J.B. Lightfoot, in his commentary, wrote, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. In Him resides the totality of divine powers and attributes. In contrast to the Gnostics, Paul reveals the fullness abides absolutely and wholly in Christ as the Word of God. The entire light of God is concentrated in Him. As the Creator, we saw that He is superior to angels, and He is the only means of salvation. Jesus made it clear that no man comes unto the Father but by Me. And yet there are many religions today, and most of them do not teach that. They don't teach that salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. They would try to accommodate man. I don't want my unsaved neighbor to go to hell. I'd like to excuse him. He's a friend. I think something of him. I'd like to say, oh, it's okay, you're going to be okay. But it's not going to be okay, because he's accountable to God for his sin, just as I was accountable to God for my sin. And by God's grace, I've been saved, but so far he has not been saved. And so he stands before God as unsaved man. Christ is able to make reconciliation, but only Christ can make reconciliation. God has so loved the world. Turn in your Bibles with me. Keep your mark here in Colossians and take a right turn to 1 Timothy. We pass Thessalonians to 1 Timothy in chapter 2. See, God makes the presentation for all men. I'm thankful our God loves the whole world. I'm thankful He provided Christ. I'm thankful that we can offer salvation to any man. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So God would have us pray for all men because God would have all men to be saved. We know all men are not going to be saved, but thank God we can present to all men the gospel message for an opportunity for them to be saved. There's only one mediator between God and man, and many people have chosen a different method of mediation between them and God. The Muslim religion today is growing by leaps and bounds because it's growing by force. They go into an area and they force people to convert or die. And so people are afraid, and so they will convert, and they'll follow the religion. That religion, you can pray all day, you can obey all their laws, you can do all that sort of thing, but there is no method of reconciliation with God in their religion. There's only death and murder and violence and all that sort of thing to take over the world. That is their goal. Islam is the enemy of the world. They might be some moderate Muslims, but there is no moderate Islam. They are all taught to do what these people are doing that we see trying to take over the world. Our president wants to bring those people here. He wants to put them in a city, let them take over that city, and let them introduce their religion, and let them take over with Sharia law, and force Christian people to leave is the only thing that will happen. And then they'll have to. Or they'll have to convert to Islam, lest they'll be tormented and possibly killed. There's only one mediator between God and man, that's the man Christ Jesus. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says, mediator, a go-between, used in two ways in the New Testament, one who mediates between two parties with a view to producing peace. Though more than mere mediatorship is in view, for salvation of men necessitates that the mediator should himself possess the nature and attributes of him toward whom he acts, and should likewise participate in the nature of those for whom he acts, except for their sin. Only by being possessed with both deity and humanity could he comprehend the claims of the one and the needs of the other. Further, the claims and needs could be met only by one who, being proved sinless, would offer himself an expiatory sacrifice on behalf of men. Second, one who acts as a guarantee so as to secure something which otherwise would not be obtained. Christ is the surety of a better covenant, the new covenant. He guarantees its terms for His people. A human priest is not a mediator. The Pope is not a mediator. The head of a denomination is not a mediator. The head of a megachurch, I don't care how much celebrity he has. Joel Osteen can't be a mediator for anybody. Mary is not a mediator. No law or commandment or rule can mediate between God and man. Only Christ is the mediator between God and man. Therefore, salvation is in Him and in Him alone. He is both God and man. He had flesh, but He had flesh without a human father, so He had no sin nature. And He was God 100%. The fullness of God dwells in Him. He willingly offered Himself to die for you and for me that we might have everlasting life. And He offers that everlasting life to all men. Muslims, I don't care what their ethnicity is, to all of the black continents, to all of the brown continents, to all of the white continents, salvation is freely offered. Christ paid the price. It is not cheap. It came at a great price of Christ's sacrifice, but it is freely offered to you and to me. The Puritan John Owens wrote, "This therefore deserves the severest of our thoughts, the best of our meditations, and our utmost diligence in them. For to focus on His glory, by that view, we may be gradually transformed into the same glory." Christ alone has the fullness with the authority, the attributes, and the desire to make reconciliation between sinful man and God. Secondly, look at verse number 20. Back in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether it be things in earth or things in heaven." Christ has proved Himself as the sacrifice and as the substitute for us, making peace. Reconciliation with God makes peace possible between us and God. There's enmity between God and sinful man. God is absolutely holy and righteous and will have no sin in His presence. In Him is absolute light. There is no darkness at all. And sin is of darkness. And so God will not have sin in His presence. Christ makes reconciliation possible so that sinful man can be cleansed of his sin and made acceptable in the sight of God. Christ's death on Calvary, He shed His blood to take away our sin. He made the required atonement for our sins. But atonement in the Old Testament was animal sacrifices that covered men's sins from year to year. Every year they had to make these same sacrifices over and over again. Hebrews tells us all the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin because there was no perfect human sacrifice to pay the price until Christ came. And Christ made the sacrifice that not covers our sin, but takes it away forever and forever, making reconciliation possible, which transforms us into His kingdom and makes us acceptable with God. Praise God for that. Even the type with the two goats, where one is slain and its blood is offered and the other sin confessed on it is taken into the wilderness, was a temporary thing that had to be repeated every year. Once Christ died, He not only died to pay for our sins, but He took our sin away, never to be recalled against us again, the Bible says. Our sins are buried as deep as the ocean is deep. They're cast as far away from us as the east is from the west. God hath put them behind His back, never to be seen again, never to be called against us again. Praise God for that. If God dug you out of the pit where He dug me out of, you'd be awful glad that God washed your sins away and you won't have to be recalling them again. Christ himself died on Calvary. He didn't just cover our sins, but he took them away. He made reconciliation between the repentant sinner and God. It's upon this same basis of Christ's reconciliation, his death, burial, resurrection, that not only is reconciliation possible, but justification is possible, redemption is possible, forgiveness is possible, and adoption into the family of God, being placed there as sons of God, is all made possible through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Excuse me. To be justified, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In justification, the guilty sinner has Christ as his substitute, so he is declared righteous upon confessing Christ as his Savior. I am unrighteous, my friend, but I stand before God accepted as righteous because Christ has paid the price for all my sins. We use that little saying, catchphrase, that justification is just as if I never sinned and just as if I never will. Justification in Christ's blood. Secondly, redemption. We are in bondage to sin, and Christ has set us free. He paid the price with His blood on Calvary and set us free from the power and dominion that sin had over us, as well as paying for the penalty of sin. Then there is forgiveness. Christ paid the debt we owe, so it made forgiveness possible for us. The penalty is gone. Back up from Colossians to the left just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Several of these are found in this passage. And then we're also going to look at 2 Corinthians 5. If you want to go ahead and put your bookmark in there, or you open it up to that. Ephesians 1, excuse me, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." So everybody who believes on Christ, God has already predetermined that those who believe on Christ become the sons of God. You become a part of the family of God according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 18, verse 17, "You know very well, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You see, we go out and witness for Christ. We have the authority to help people be reconciled to God by believing on Jesus Christ, who paid the price. Verse 19, "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Christ is the sin sacrifice who pays the price for our sins, that we can be reconciled to God and be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So then we have that word adoption, as we saw in Ephesians chapter 1. We who were strangers and aliens from God are now made sons of God. Then that results in peace with God. There was enmity between us and God before we were saved. Now that we're saved, we're reconciled to God, there's peace between us and God. Then there's peace from God that comes to us who believe. Our sins are gone. We can lay down at night knowing we're saved, that we're going to heaven. We teach our little kids to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." My friend, you can have absolute peace if you know Christ as your Savior. To lay down and go to sleep because God's awake. God's on the throne. And you belong to Him. And you will forever belong to Him. Peace with God. Peace from God. Then there's the peace of God. When we do what is right and we pray and we seek God's face, we can receive a peace from God that passeth all understanding. We often have to make decisions and we're not sure what to do. We're not sure to turn right or left. We're not sure to buy this or not to. We're not sure to choose to live here or live there. We're not sure to stay with this job or don't stay with this job. We're not sure about a lot of things. And so we pray and we ask God's intervention. And if we live right and do right, God will give us peace about what we are to do. This church made a move in its early days. We rented a storefront building out here, an old closed-down seafood restaurant. And we got a congregation up of 40 people and we organized into a church within 1 year. And then we bought the old City Hall on Main Street in Fort Mill. And we wrestled with that. We weren't sure. We had to pray hard to come up with enough money for a down payment, to buy chairs, to do some remodeling. Didn't have a parking lot, really, but Sunday everything on Main Street was closed, so we could park the whole Main Street on both sides. The Jewish fellow that ran the store right down the street from it, Mr. Ackerman, he told the city council, he said, "I'm going to start opening up on Sunday so I can get some of that crowd from Bible Baptist Church up there that lines the streets to come and buy something at my store." They had some kind of ordinance, you know, about being open on Sunday. Praise God. Gave us a parking lot. We prayed about it. A man called me up and said, "Come over here, I want to give you something." Went to his house. We needed $1,000 to buy some chairs. He handed me $2,000. We needed $4,000 for the down payment. We prayed. God's people gave. We had the down payment. We made the down payment. We moved into it. We're still praying. The first Sunday that we're in the building, 13 people got saved. God gave us peace. We were doing what God would have us to do. God showed us that we were doing what He would have us to do. Now, I'd like to say every time I pray, I get that same kind of peace and results. It's not always that glorious, you know, and not always that overabundant. But you know, just like I know, God can give you peace that you're doing something, a peace that man can't give you, a peace you can't manufacture yourself, a peace that comes from God that passeth all understanding. Now, Isaiah 48:22 says something about peace. It says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." The unsaved don't have peace with God. The unsaved are like a troubled sea that's churning up the sand all the time. It has no peace. It tosses to and fro. They seek peace. They seek something that's missing in their life. They're not even sure what it is. They try sex. They try alcohol. They try drugs. They try all types of deviant sins. But nothing like that will give them peace. The only thing that gives real peace is a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Isaiah 59:8, he said of his own people, "The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." When Jesus Christ came and was born as a babe in the manger in Bethlehem, the angels came and proclaimed, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Do you know peace with God? Have you had reconciliation between you and God? It's not God that needs to be reconciled to you. He didn't do anything wrong. It's you and I that need to be reconciled to God. And Christ's death on Calvary's cross makes that reconciliation possible, because He paid the price for all our sins. Verse number 21 in Colossians chapter 1. "We who were aliens and enemies hath He now reconciled. We were lost, aliens of God, without hope, strangers from the covenants and promises. If you're not Jewish, you didn't even have the covenants and promises given unto you. But the blood of Christ made us nigh unto God, and He has given us peace. He's made us one in Christ, reconciled us by the cross, and has preached peace unto us. Last of all, in Colossians 1, verse 22, He came to present us reconciled, justified, forgiven, holy, and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Praise God. If you look up what each one of those words mean, that's what you have in Jesus Christ. Reconciliation, justification, you're unblameable. I'd like to be unblameable. On this earth I'm not, but in heaven I am. And unreprovable, I don't have to be reproved. I've been reproved all my life. People are always telling me why I'm wrong in something and what I need to do to change what I'm doing. One day I'm going up to God and God's going to say, "Welcome, unreprovable saint of God." And I'm going to shout glory, hallelujah, and fall down and praise Jesus Christ who made it possible. Jude verse 24, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know that peace? Do you know reconciliation? Are you regularly aware of the cost of your salvation that Christ paid? Are you aware of the glorious future that you have in Christ? An eternal home, a new heaven and a new earth, all because Christ sacrificed Himself for us. Then let us continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. We're part of God's family as His sons. We're pretty lousy family members sometimes. But you know what? God keeps us anyway. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. It's going to be revealed when Jesus takes us home. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, we give You praise for what You've done. We love You. We thank You. We ask You blessings on this invitation. Deal with our hearts now through Your Spirit and use Your Word. May it not return unto You void. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.